Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. Talking in the pre-show a little bit of high schools. There's that documentary coming out on the school that was faked, tried to play IMG Academy. So if you want to hear that, go to southboundsports.com. Sign up for the Patreon. We have a live show extended that you can watch there each week. If you want to watch the video, they're also still posted there. Let's get rolling now with, I'm trying to think of what I want to hit on first. So we'll talk about the NBA finals. Cause like there's nothing going on right now. You're at the dead period where the NBA finals was a blowout. The Nuggets won their first championship. Didn't really watch it. The Heat disappointed me because that should have been the Celtics. I don't know if the Celtics would have won, but they definitely would have put up more of a fight. And like I said, why can't that happen to like Michigan where they can get lucky and play a team in the playoffs that shouldn't be there, like an 8 seed like that? Because like Nuggets fan, they have to be rejoicing. I think they would have been dogs to both the Celtics and the Sixers, and they get lucky that they don't have to play either. And they can just cruise to the Heat where they were completely unmatched. And that's where, like, the Celtics, I'm just disappointed that they didn't have, like, they didn't play with fire. And I called it on the show. I said, they played like the Sixers series was their championship. And they came out flat and went down 0-3. I think if they win one of those games, then they're playing in the finals. But congrats to the Nuggets, man. Take advantage. If you have a chance to go ahead and win against a lesser team. Let's see. What do you have any thoughts on the NBA? Did you watch any of that?
I kind of just thought that Miami was just going to steamroll through. Because, I mean, the way we had talked before during the Sixers and Celtics series was whoever won that stood the best chance of clearing the way to the finals. And it didn't play out like that.
I still think the Heat, like, I think the Celtics came out flat, let the Heat get up on them. And then the last game, if Tatum was hurt and it made that big of a difference, I don't know. I hate players using, like, oh, I got hurt as an excuse all the time. And I'm not saying that Tatum does it all the time, but just having a player be like, yeah, everyone's banged up and whatever. But, like, it's game seven. Like, play through it. I brought up Paul Pierce. Which people on ESPN were making fun of Paul Pierce because he called into like one of the NBA shows drunk. What's the difference? He's like a retired man. He's not like on ESPN, right? They give him a little money to like call into the show. Well, who cares if he's drunk, right?
That's what you're paying for.
Is it in his contract that he can't be drunk? Like, hey, you're using his name to like hype up their other shows. Well, like, hey, we're gonna get Paul Pierce to call in. It's not like they're like just getting some anonymous like random NBA fan, where it's like, yeah, you have no clout. We need you to be sober for this. Like, I have no problem with him getting drunk and having fun watching the games. You know, he's watching the games and getting drunk. Like, he's an adult. Let him drink beers if that's what he wants to do. Or whatever he was drinking. I don't know. That's my little tidbit on the NBA. It's like,
oh, the NBA just start hosting parties where people just get hammered.
Well, it's always like a controversy. I don't know if they do it on purpose with like Charles Barkley and Shaq. They're like getting into it with like different people and all this stuff. And then, I'm not there for the drama. And isn't that TNT's slogan like drama? So maybe it's fake, but like having Paul Pierce be drunk with Kevin Garnett and then Kevin Garnett being pissed at him or whatever, it's like, calm down, Garnett. They're not calling you to come out and run out in the tunnel and start playing. So, I don't know. That's my thoughts on the NBA. It just surprising. And I think the NHL is kind of the same way where, man, the Hurricanes are so close, and they play Florida, and Florida looks like they're going to come out and like steamroll, like you said, like the Heat looked like that, and then just checked back into reality. Like, no, that's why you're a wild card. You might have got hot at the right time, but you cooled off in the finals. You're clearly not the best team, and you're giving Vegas an easy cup, their first. And I'm probably going to jinx them. They were up 2-0 when I started this at the end of the first. So if Florida comes back, they're down 3-1 or 1-3, I guess. But I think Vegas locks it up tonight. And it just shows you that sometimes you catch a break in that championship game and you play a team that shouldn't be there and you get your win and you're forever known as champs, I guess.
Kind of like the AFC team when they ran into the 90s Niners. It's like, it doesn't matter who's winning on this side. Random John Elway teams without a running back, the Chargers. Like, you're gonna lose by 1,000 right now.
Or like when you play Tom Brady. Anyone playing Tom Brady. Although Eli Manning got lucky. So, like, you can't knock. It can happen both ways. Like, no one expected the Giants to even compete with that undefeated Patriots team, right? So, yeah. I mean, both wins are championships. Great. Like, let's go for it. Count them. That's why I said people were like, wouldn't you want your team to play? Like, people always ask me, they're like, wouldn't you rather? Because, like, last year, TCU probably would have been a better matchup. But the COVID thing, people don't still realize that it really messed up the rosters. And so now you have dudes that are, like, BYU age, like 26 or whatever, on rosters. So it's hard to judge, like, the ratings. Things are going to start coming back down to earth, like, this year and next year, I think. Isn't that when most of the COVID stuff's over? But, like, Georgia's quarterback is, like, 26 years old. How he didn't get his degree, I'll never know. Like, right? What was he doing?
Well, if you change your majors a bunch of times.
He played in, like, the 17 Rose Bowl or whatever. Right? Like, so that stuff, like, typically Michigan should have been more overpowered than TCU, but TCU definitely had NFL ballers on that team. And it just happens with, like, the transfer portal. You never know. But I would easily take Michigan not playing Georgia or a team that's more talented, you know? If it just broke that way, it wouldn't be less of a championship. I wouldn't care. Just win, baby. Who cares who you play? No one remembers the loser unless, like, it's, like, a crazy, like, lopsided loss, like TCU getting absolutely pounded last year. Like, yeah, that's the breaks. People think that a bigger playoff is going to make that worse. It's like, no, you're going to take out some of the margin of error. Yeah, you might get some teams sneaking into the finals, just like the NBA did this year, just like the NHL did, where they shouldn't really be there. They got hot. But you're really going to have a lesser chance of that happening, I think. Because, like, last year, TCU might have beat Michigan, got lucky that first run. I don't think they would have been able to beat three teams, you know, if it was a 12, 16-team playoff they have coming. So TCU would have had to play two or three other rounds, like two other teams, I think, right? Or one extra team. Like, what I'm saying is they wouldn't have most likely been able to beat Michigan, then Ohio State, and then Georgia, you know? They might have been able to get the first one. Awesome. But they wouldn't have gotten past the second round, I don't think. So that's the one thing where you're looking at these playoffs and you try to take some of the lesser competition out by letting more teams play. And maybe a team had some injuries, like you said, you get some guys that are injured, who knows? And then you're able to sneak through a couple of rounds. But it's really hard to have a team that's not one of the top teams win a championship in any of the major sports just because of that reason. Like, I'm trying to think what would be the easiest. Probably baseball, right? A pitcher gets hot.
And then pitch them back to back on short rest, maybe?
Yeah. Because, like, hockey, I think, is going to be the hardest because you're going to have to get hot and then keep playing hot. I know they have teams. Like, I think they're a little bit more balanced, their rosters. NBA is obviously one of the hardest because you can have a super team of three dudes come together and win championships in the NBA. That's, like, the only sport that you can do that. Like, LeBron can get two of his buddies and win a championship. No other sport can do that.
Used to be able to.
Used to, but he's getting old. But everyone did that. Celtics had three dudes get together, win a championship. Basically, Golden State had like three dudes get together and win a couple championships. LeBron did it. And did it again with the Lakers. It's like, okay, that's all you have to do. Maybe the Nuggets, like I said, they get lucky because they didn't have to play a superpower team like that. But that's pretty much it for the non-football sports. Did you have anything you want to talk about with that?
Not really. I'm just, the only other thing with it is, and it's just, I'm curious now to see with the Sixers firing Doc Rivers, that what direction they're going to go with their new coach and with James Harden, because it seemed like he's potentially out, and then we're looking at putting big threes together, and it's like, who's that complementary piece for Joel Embiid to get them over the hump?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a changing of guard. I think like a lot of the superstars from like 10 years ago or so are done. So you need to get like some younger guys in there. Like, is Jokic going to be able to lead the Nuggets to multiple championships? I don't know. Right? You get one, he could be like just always hanging around on the West. I don't really know. Like, there's not like really any like stud superstars like a Steph was a couple years ago, you know? And Embiid could easily fill that. But to get to that level, you can't just win the MVP. Isn't that what he won this year? Like, you got to win the championship. I mean, I guess you could win a bunch of MVPs like Garnett, but then he had to leave the team and go to a super team, right, to get his championship.
Yeah. I think when you're looking at some of those big threes too, though, they have that inside presence, and there has to be a shooter in that mix that you can play the inside out games. I mean, even during the times where they had the Twin Towers with Duncan and Robinson, there was still someone who could be an outside threat.
Ginobili. That is what you need. You do need a shooter. But, I mean, like, even the Heat had it with Robinson, Michigan guy, right? Like, there were times where he was scoring, like, 40 points, which is insane. Because everything at Michigan, like, when he came out, like, I don't even know if he was drafted. They're, like, too slow, can't even guard anybody. Like, that was his scouting report when he left Michigan. It was, like, everyone's like, yeah, he can shoot the ball, but that's about it. But if you shoot so good that no one cares about your defense, right?
Yeah.
So, he was leading that Heat team for a while. If he would have led them to the championship, I would have been like, holy shit, what's going on here?
Or if you're a massive center and then you just spot up outside and think you're a three-point shooter.
Well, that's kind of what they need. Like, the Sixers need a guy like Robinson that just shoots, that doesn't have, like, Embiid come out there, because like that's gonna give like that gave Butler like a lot of room to work with, I think.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Because like you can't just leave him open. He's jacking up threes from God knows where all over the court and hitting them. Like he missed a one. There's like game six against the Celtics that I was like, oh man, he should have hit that. Like that was it was such a crazy miss, and I was like, he doesn't even miss that much. To like even him miss that shot, that it was kind of like Celtics are going to win this game because typically he would have made that and they would have lost. But like the Celtics didn't have a guy like that. They're jacking threes. They can't have anyone hitting them at all. So you're right. You do need at least one shooter that you can rely on. But there's not too many of them in the league, I don't think.
No.
People think they are. They think they are, but they're not.
Not at a accuracy that you need to to be championship caliber anyhow.
I'm going to look and see what the best shooters were this year. What the hell are they giving me? Larry Bird and Reggie Miller. Like,
well, those two were pretty accurate.
I don't want how many points he had per game. What's their percentage? Yeah. ESPN, why can't I narrow this down by how many attempts? The dude has one attempt and he's 1,000. Like, it's probably a layup. It's the most ridiculous list because it doesn't tell me how many shots they took. All right. I'll have to maybe do some other looking, but like Jokic is really high, but of course he's down low. A lot of the highest rated dudes here are centers, probably because they're just hitting all high percentage shots, you know. But like for Golden State, Steph Curry and like Klay Thompson, like they're leading in like 3 points made per game. It's like that opens up a lot of stuff. Philly has one guy on the list with Lewis King, but he only played one game. So I don't know what his deal is, but
they started shooting and Harden was like, nope. Don't even think about it.
He played
like a 4 for 18.
He had to get hurt, I would think. Because he played 29 minutes in one game and had 20 something points? 20 points. Like, why would they not play him again? But maybe I'm reading this wrong. I don't know. He's the only one on the list with one game played. So that has to be a thing. Harden's semi down the list. But like his field goal percentage is pretty high though too. But yeah, you kind of have to balance that out. What was I thinking? I was gonna bring something up. I forgot what it is now. Oh well. Anything else you have for?
No.
NBA stuff. Oh no, I know what it was gonna be. Father's Day is coming up, right? So I'll give a shout out to my dad because I saw Larry Bird on the thing. People in the Midwest think my dad's Larry Bird. And it always struck me as odd, right? Because isn't Larry Bird like a taller dude?
He is, but your dad also is tall. It's not like he's 5'5".
Larry Bird is 6'9". My dad's like 6'1" tops. There's 8 inches difference. Like, so the fact that people would come up to him and be like, oh shit, you're Larry Bird. Like, that should never happen. Unless the dudes only watch on TV and they think.
I've witnessed it happen actually before.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but I'm wondering what the mind state of these other guys are, where they see him and think, that's Larry Bird. Cause like, I'm trying to think, like, if I saw like a 5'5" guy, I wouldn't be like, holy shit, that's Tom Brady. Like,
well, right, but
well, Tom, people don't understand Tom Brady's like 6'4". They probably think he's smaller is what I'm saying, but Larry Bird is a basketball player. You have to think they're taller than you, right?
I don't know,
maybe I'm crazy, maybe you're so starstruck, because like when you saw it happen, was he sitting down?
No, he was walking through a gas station.
Exactly. That's my point. I've seen it happen like 2 or 3 times, and it's always like walking or standing, and the guy comes up.
Yes. And it's not like he's like shrinking and like can't see over the lines of the gas station like snacks. He's towering over them.
You know what I think it might be? It's people that went to one game when Larry Bird was playing and they were kids. So they saw how big Larry is, but now that they're bigger, they assume that they caught up to Larry Bird's height.
No, I'll do you one better, because I think it's people know of Larry Bird and see his highlights, but then like you don't actually correlate like how big someone is in real life compared to what you see on TV. It's like, oh yeah, that's definitely him.
But the guys that are like, they're only a little bit shorter than my dad. That's what I don't understand, like. If you were like if you ran up to a guy that was like a little bit more built than you and you're like, oh my God, are you Arnold Schwarzenegger? Be like, no, brother. Get away from me. What's wrong with you? That's my Father's Day shout out to Larry Bird, my dad. Because hey, Larry, if you hear this and you need a guy to sign autographs for you, I'm sure my dad would do it. Right? Like a look-alike. You know, like they hire like the fake Elvis. They hire a fake Larry Bird. My dad comes out in like the short shorts. As long as he's not cutting off his own jean shorts, you know.
See, and that may be it. They see the short shorts like, oh yeah, Larry Bird played in the '80s.
He comes in, he does a little spin move with a little basketball and a headband. Oh man. Classic stuff. I know. It's like, at least he's not getting like pegged for someone like that's like disgusting looking. Like, oh my gosh, are you Bam Bam Bigelow? It's like, oh my God. Get away from me. But that brings me to my next topic. So this is random, not really sports related, but we talk about esports on the show, and in every June they used to have this big video game like presentation thing. So I was listening to like kind of see what's coming out in the past of like announced like new Madden features, which I don't think they have. But while the presentation was going on, they did an Olympics announcement, which really caught me off guard because I thought, hey, what the heck? This is the Olympics logo. People are just dancing on stage. And I thought, is this some type of like synchronized dancing? No, the Olympics is sponsoring an official esports Olympic event where you can win. It didn't say Olympic medals, Matt, because I did dig into it a little bit deeper, but it also didn't say you weren't like getting nothing, right? Like you were going to be the world champ, just like the Olympics is supposed to crown the world champ in like each sport. But they're not even just like video games. Cause like I thought, oh, this could be kind of cool. So I'm going to look into it a little bit and see like what sports that they're going to be, or what like video games are they going to be playing, right? Are they going to be playing like Rocket League? Cause you can't really drive your car in real life and play soccer, right? The as soon as your car collides with the other car, it's going to be like a demolition derby. There will be no goals scored in that game. You would just be dead. So like that one would have to be an esport. It's like, no, I don't think that's on the list. They have 10 sports that are going to be part of this Olympics event. The first one, Matt, archery. You're playing a game called Tic-Tac-Bow, which I don't know what the hell that is, but I'm assuming it's like if you go to Cabela's and you know how like they have the fake bow and arrow like type games or shooting games, that's now an Olympic event. I don't know how you qualify for it, but I'm assuming you don't have to be in great shape. So I think for the show, we should try to qualify next time. Apparently, I didn't know about this, but the qualification happened in May. I don't know how you qualify, but next time this happens, we need to try to qualify for something. They're also doing baseball. Insanity. Why? Just play regular baseball. But no, they're playing eBaseball Power Pros. Never heard of the game. Don't know what it is. Oh, here's another one too. Chess. This one makes sense to me, right? Because I think you would speed the game up if you're not having dudes fondle these little chess pieces all the day. Right? You're doing it on a digital board, which would have to be faster, right? But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. The one that really stood out to me, actually, there's these next two. First one is Just Dance. And I'm going out of order here because I want to save the one for last. So Just Dance is the one that announced it. Just Dance is a video game where you can hold your cell phone, or if you have like a Nintendo Switch, you can hold the controller. And there's like a sensor in there that tracks your movement with the beat. And it kind of gives you a score. And I thought for once in the history of the Olympics, this could actually lead to fair judgment for dancing sports, right? Because in the past, you had to rely on some judge that could easily be bought, right? I never understand why they're like, how do we know that the judges are on the straight and narrow? But now you can do Just Dance. You have to wear the sensor and it tells you how bad you're doing. And I think it would make the Olympics a lot more fair. I think this is one of the ones that makes sense with chess. What do you think?
I would say yes.
Because like if you're a kid or you're, let's say you're a parent and your kid says like, hey, I want to be an Olympic dancer. It's like, well, to be honest, I don't know how where you go for that. Like you're going to go and have like some weird guy like Larry Nassar for like gymnastics, like doing weird stuff with the kids. Like, no, You don't have to deal with that now, because now they have the technology, Matt, to give you feedback and tell your kid, like, you can't dance. Like, you're really poor. Your score is like a zero. You're getting zero stars. You just need to give up and go find another hobby. Where before, like, kids get into dance, they don't know how bad they are or how good they are, right? Unless someone tells them that they're doing good. But you don't know if people are telling the truth. So I think that one makes sense. I didn't really know what was going on in the announcement video. It didn't really look like Olympians on that stage. But maybe I'm not thinking straight. Maybe they can show me that all body types can be Olympians, right? All right, so then we get into the other sports here. These ones are going to... I'm going to kind of go fast, because, like, the next one is motorsport, where you're going to be racing on Gran Turismo. Again, just race real cars. What's the point of playing a racing video game? Oh, taking it a step further, Matt, sailing and virtual regatta. They already have sailing. Then another one, just like the shooting, but you're playing Fortnite. You're shooting in Fortnite targets.
Now, are all of these rolled in together?
No, these are different events. Like, you would qualify, you would get your gold medal in a, like, Fortnite shooting.
See, I think it would be better if they just did it all together and then it was just one esports gold medal. If you're showing that you can do racing and sports and thinking, and you're the esports champion. You can master all the video games.
But I think that limits what they want. That's kind of like the Iron Man thing. They want people to come in, like, here's one for you. The next one's Taekwondo. Virtual Taekwondo.
Be the Bruce Jenner of video games.
Like, you've been going to your classes for the martial arts, right? How would you do with virtual Taekwondo? Would you win?
Would you win in Street Fighter?
Well, I thought it was going to be things like Street Fighter, right? Because that's a big time event where people play the game. They already have competitions. They already have Mortal Kombat. I think they have Call of Duty events, right? Like, why are you doing target shooting in Fortnite? Why don't you just play Fortnite? Isn't the whole point of Fortnite is to get one winner? Right?
I would say yes.
All they're doing here is just taking sports that already exist. And look, the next one is tennis. Tennis Clash. Just play real tennis. Like, why are you having Olympic sponsored events for dudes that don't want to go outside and play real tennis, Matt? I understand they're going to say, like, oh, well, it's hard. It's expensive to, like, play tennis. Like, I've seen tennis courts growing up where no one's using them ever. You don't think playing on, like, an official, because I'm guaranteeing people are playing with, like, an official $4,000 esports computer, right? So they have no lag. Because otherwise, how are you going to know your dance moves are hitting or not? And then, because the last one that stood out to me, Matt, is something called Zwift. And I didn't know what Zwift was. It is a cycling thing where you're riding bikes. They're going to have people lined up on bikes, like at a gym, just like pedaling, to see who can pedal the fastest. This might be the most physical one. This is the most physical event, I think, other than just dance, right? You're fake driving, you're fake sailing. They're not going to give you, like, the controller tied to, like, a gigantic rope and you're, like, doing the sailing fake. Like, no. You're going to be just pretending. Tennis is fake. Shooting is doing nothing. Taekwondo, maybe. I don't know what that would be. Like, are you just doing the moves like a Just Dance and it's censoring them? Or are you doing, is it like a Street Fighter? I don't know. Because Street Fighter is like, you're not going to break a sweat playing Street Fighter. Unless
it's a really intense game.
Unless I'm not doing it right. Was my guy Barack, was that guy's name? Baraka? Is that the green guy? Blanca. Is it Blanca?
Yes.
Yeah. If you're Blanca and you have to wear the Blanca suit and you're like all green, then maybe you'd break a sweat. But like, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand whose idea it was. They went to the official, this is the official Olympics committee. And this is peak off-season content, by the way. They had a bunch of guys and ladies that are probably super old sit down and they said, hey, we need to start reaching the youth. We need to do video games. And they didn't comprehend what a video game was. And they said, well, can we just do the regular events on the computer? And they were like, that's genius. Instead of cycling, they just go on the exercise bike. Will people watch it? Like, no. If people are watching this, because, like, I understand, like, you're watching, like, Fortnite or what's the other one? League of Legends or something where it's an actual game and people play it. Like, I get that. Because it's like a sport, right? But you're actually watching people fake play sports. It, like, watching someone fake cycle is not fun. Or am I wrong?
I don't know. I haven't watched it. So I don't know. I'll have to, I will report back.
This is happening in like 2 weeks, I think. I hope it goes on during the show because we'll just do a live show that week because there'll be nothing else going on at the end of June, right? Because if I watch this show and it's a live show of people doing Just Dance, because like I've played Just Dance and I always get critiqued because I don't do all the moves right. But I get super high scores because all you have to do is go with the rhythm, right? So I wonder, are you just getting scored on rhythm or are they actually judging your moves too? Because if you put a human element into it, that's bullshit. That's not real esports. I'm putting that down right now. like if at the end of a football game, you're going out there and they're like, here's the final score. That was a hell of a win by the Chiefs, but then a panel of judges was like, well, we didn't really like your offense. That wasn't real football. Threw the ball too much. We're going to penalize you guys 15 points, and you lose the Super Bowl now. Could you imagine? I don't know why you're laughing. That could be the real sport. We don't know. The Olympic Committee is corrupt, man. They're just like FIFA.
Well, see, with some of these, I was thinking, are they... Is it safer for the Olympians to just be riding an exercise bike than to try to bike through some hostile town?
But how can you prove you're the best cycler?
It'll show on your heart rate and how fast you pedal.
Maybe they should add a heart rate into it.
Everyone's pedal, everyone's bike will be calibrated so that no one can just buy the best bike.
Well, I also wonder, is it just like a video game? Because, like, if you are just biking through a fake level, like, think if you're at Dave & Buster's or something, Chuck E. Cheese. Like, those courses are only, like, they only last a couple minutes, right? Because it's, like, arcade biking. So if you're doing, like, a fake race, you could really just go balls to the walls for 3 minutes and then have a heart attack on stage. But you get your gold medal. And I'm sure they'd resuscitate you. They have to have doctors there, right?
Yes.
Like, you're like, yeah, I did it. And people were like, yeah, I just didn't push to my limit. That guy really pushed to his limit. he was really into it when they're doing the Fortnite targets. Because like you're saying, if you have to do, because like, I'm trying to think. I watched a documentary on Netflix. I don't know what the hell it was called. But they talked about like something with the old video games. And they said like Nintendo had a competition where you had to beat, I think it was like 3 games in a row. And whoever went the fastest and had the highest score, they were the champ. So, like, to your point, if they had all these games lined up where you had to go in, shoot 10 targets in archery, then run and hit a home run in baseball, then I don't know how you'd do chess speed-wise, beat the computer, right? Then, like, do cycling for 30 minutes or something, then I could see, but I really don't think they're going to do that. Because I think the Nintendo one was like you played Mario, you did some other game, and then you did Tetris until the timer ran out or until you got a certain score or something. I can't remember. I think that's what they talked about on the show. I can't remember. I don't know what it's called. High Score, maybe? Is that a show on Netflix? If you're curious. But I'm really... I've warned you, Matt, that I think this is going to be the future of sports. If the Olympics is in on it, just wait until you get called down to the office at school and they're like, coach, we need to bring you out. You're going to be the new head coach of e-cycling. And you're going to sit in a room with like 20 kids that are sweating, and there's going to be no airflow in that room, and they're just going to be biking while you watch to make sure no one dies. That's going to be the future of coaching. I guess it'd be like a Peloton class, right? Don't they have coaches that like pump you up? Like, dig deep. Come on, guys. You need to wear the spandex, though. No one wants to see that.
No one needs to see that.
Yeah, that's my big topic for the week. I don't really have much. That's it, though. Fake Olympic esports. Because you're not even doing esports, right? You're just trying to make a lazy version of the Olympics. Which people haven't even been watching the Olympics as much anyway. So you're already losing popularity. It'd be like if ESPN was like, hey, it's been tough for us to do bowling. We need to just start televising Wii bowling. And they just have a guy sitting in their couch playing Wii bowling. Or Switch bowling. Like, isn't there like a Switch version? I don't know. Wii bowling was like the more popular one, I think. But that's my thoughts on it. Do you have anything you want to add on that?
No, because it just makes me sad. Although I still think, and we bring this up every time there's the Olympics, I want to see where they do the preview of the sport, where it's like, this is, so you understand what the average person does going in. It's like, here's just Bill Smith. He's going to run a marathon. No training. Step off the bus. He runs in 14 hours.
I thought you were going to say luge. Because you always tell me that you could lay down and be a loser. So I thought that's where you're going with that.
It's not Winter Olympics. But yes, when it comes time, I want to lose one time just to see, could I do it?
I tried to go curling. It's really hard to get into down here. That's like a big club thing. One day I will go curling and I'll report back to you. But by the time I finally do it, the Olympics will have just like a video game curling. And they'll be like, yeah, it's too expensive for us to rent the ice anymore. So you take use your phone and you just pretend to broom. It's like, awesome. But yeah, I'm going to definitely be checking back in on that. Because the only other thing going on is the USFL. And the USFL has become more unbalanced than the Big Ten and the SEC. So I've been trying to watch. But like you brought up last week, I think in the summer, it's tough. Cause like, even with the weird fires and like the weird orange sky that we had, where you're like, should I go outside? And everyone's warning you, don't go outside. You're going to breathe the fire. And it's like, okay, but is it worse than normal air? They're like, yeah, by 2 points. Like, what's the points out of though? Well, it's out of 100. It's 2 points worse than 100. It's like, yeah, but what's it normally? It's like 99. So is it really that much worse? I don't know. So I'm like, do I go outside and breathe the air? Or do I like sit around and watch USFL football? But one entire division, the North Division, they all have losing records. Everyone in the, is it the South? Yeah, the South. They all have winning records. So when they do the playoffs, you're going to have a loser playing, just like the XFL. But the XFL loser that ended up winning it, they had to beat a bunch of winners, right? You're going to have losers playing losers to play one winner. It's insane. That's why they announced the Big Ten schedule. The Big Ten's getting rid of divisions, which personally, I've been kind of against. And I bring up the pod thing. I know you hate it. I want to see where they're keeping the regional rivalries going. And I think the USFL could have taken that idea because you only have 8 teams. Picking a rival out that's like close to you and playing them two or three times, whatever it is, but playing them more. So like you pick a rival out that you can play more. And that's what I think the USFL should have done and just not had divisions. Because that way you're keeping the rivalry thing and then you play all the other teams the same amount. So if there's like 8 games or whatever, or Was there 10 games? Like, I don't even know. But I think that they should just do... They should have did... I guess it would have been a 9-game schedule with 8 teams. You play... Or no, 8. It would have been 8-game schedule. You play your rival twice, and you play every other team once, and you have one division. And that's it. I think what their problem was, though, they went division so that they could have 10 weeks. And I don't know why they did that. I mean, you could do... like a 9, I don't know, because then you're getting into too many. Like, I think they should have just went with the rival thing, did 8 weeks of games, staggered in some bye weeks, because people aren't watching all the games anyway. So, like, add some bye weeks if you want it to really stretch to 10. But that's kind of what I want to see, because the USFL, it's hard to get people to watch when they put the records up on TV. If I'm at the bar and I'm like, hey, what's on TV? Oh, 3-6 versus 3-6. Am I going to pay attention? Not so much. But that's the whole division. 3-3-6 teams and 1-4-5. On the other side, it's 7-2-6-3 and 2-5-4. So it's an even split of good teams and bad teams. It's just insane. But have you watched the USFL?
I watched more this past weekend because
the Fires,
Philadelphia and New Jersey were on, and I did catch some of that one.
The one game I wanted to watch too ended up being a replay because of the Lightning. NBC showed the week before his rematch. They just rebroadcasted the game. And then I don't even know, like, I wasn't paying that much attention. So I don't know if the other game turned back on or if I was just endlessly watching a replay become nothing. I actually don't remember now at this point. That's how boring I thought it was. And I don't even think it was a good matchup. So it's like, I'm going to see if they, I guess I'm assuming they played.
But I think that's one of the hard things too with, like, you don't know going in what these teams and what the divisions are going to look like. If you have, like, a couple of years down the road when you have a better understanding of these teams are better, these teams aren't so good, like, you're able to cycle some of that out. Like, comparatively right now, if you took away, like, if you looked at the NFL rosters and you're like, we're going to do away with the divisions, we're just going to have straight AFC and straight NFC, so that we can hand pick which matchups we want. Like, I think you could probably, within reason, pick out some of the better matchups for your Monday night, Thursday night marquee games.
Well, that's where it hurts the USFL, because they're trying to broadcast 4 games a weekend, but they're always going to have the crappy teams playing in one of those, 2 of those games, you know? So it's like, do you add more teams? Because, like, if you could go 10 teams and have no divisions, then you could have a rival you play twice, and then you play every other team once, and I think you would get better matchups, and there would be one game a week that you don't show on TV. And who cares if it's the same team every week that's, like, not getting picked because they suck? But right now, they don't have any control over that. They're like, well, we made these divisions. It's like, well, why? Because now I'm questioning everything. The same with, like, the XFL. It's like, oh yeah, the divisions, like, you've had these teams for a while. But now I'm thinking, like, do we even need divisions? Because I would rather, like, I don't mind a team with a losing record winning the championship, like the XFL. By the end of it, I don't think they had a losing record anymore. But it's like, as a fan, I'm not going to be hyped up to watch the playoffs if half your playoffs are losers. Right? And it's too late now to, like, redo it. And I know, because the divisions are not fair, because, like, maybe the teams in the North are just, we'll see, because they're losing the cross ones, though. So it's, like, hard to say, like, oh yeah, that division's just better. They're beating each other up. Like, that's the old SEC move, you know? Yeah, we're beating each other up. It's like, but are you? Or do you just not have any, like, superstar teams? That's what we don't know. Because the league, like, to your point, they haven't been around as long. So we don't know these teams. We don't know the players as much. So I'm starting to open up to, I guess my point is, I'm opening up to the no division thing. Because then you're able to control it more, And I think like the Big Ten's model of let's not do the divisions, let's try to keep all of our traditional rivals, but they didn't force it. Did I send you the schedule thing? The Big Ten's only keeping 11 rivalry matchups, which is like the most random Big Ten thing to do. It's like, hey, we're going to pick the most random matchups and we're going to keep them. So I think it's going to be, I'm trying to count them as I go, Illinois and Northwestern, Illinois and Purdue, Indiana, Purdue, Iowa gets three. They get Minnesota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. Maryland and Rutgers is protected. Michigan, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and USC, UCLA. So Penn State has no protected rival, which is kind of like a joke at this point.
Well, they're unrivaled.
Michigan's AD pushed to keep Michigan State on the thing. Honestly, I know I understand where he's coming from because that's one of the biggest ticket sellers. And so if you can make sure that you have that game and the Ohio State game flipped each year where you get one team at home, you're going to pretty much sell out season tickets, right? Because you know that's how it's been, where it's like one year if you get a season ticket, like as a student, you can see Michigan State. Then the next year you can see Ohio State, and it keeps going back and forth. Where if they were trying to keep like the actual rivalries, I would have liked to see Minnesota stay. I don't understand how Iowa can get three. I mean, Michigan has the most, like everyone thinks they're rivals with Michigan. So like, I really don't care either way. But now you're leaving it open for like teams like Penn State to like every year they're going to have to play a different schedule. You're not going to build rivalries. I don't mind not forcing, because like the SEC right now, the rumors are they're going to force three permanent rivals, right? You're going to come up with some crappy matchups out of that. I would have liked to seen the Big Ten try to at least force the rivalries for the end of the year, because I always talk about how that's a big selling point. Like they should have forced Michigan State and Penn State to play Thanksgiving weekend or whatever it is. Because that's the weekend Michigan plays Ohio State. That's the weekend Iowa plays Nebraska. So you can put Minnesota, Wisconsin that weekend. You can put like Indiana, Purdue. You can put Illinois, Northwestern. You can put UCLA, USC. You can put Rutgers, Maryland that weekend. And I think you can have enough. I don't know if I named everybody, but that should have been enough matchups where everyone has a rival. The only one that's not lined up for that weekend is Penn State has no one to play that weekend. Unless they're trying to really pull in and bring in like a Miami. Because that's the rumor, is that the SEC supposedly doesn't want Miami no matter what. They only want one more Florida team. That's going to be Florida State is what they're saying. USF, on the other hand, they just passed, what was it, $360 million?
Yeah.
Initiative for a new stadium?
But so, it's just the initiative, so they can back out of that deal, because I think like the actual construction isn't supposed to start until like 26 or 27. So, I mean, they have some time that if they can't levy the on-campus stadium into something, that they can back out and not be on the hook for any of the financial costs of it. But, you know, I look at USF, the very similar situation to Pitt. USF's playing their home games in the Tampa Bay Buccaneer Stadium. Pitt's playing at the Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium. And you have these scenarios where is the on-campus individualized stadium going to mean that much for the college?
Well, I definitely think there's an opening in the state of Florida. I was trying to put together a list of teams that always say like the we're back, you know? So what I did is I went on Wikipedia and I tried to find teams that are like the top most successful teams. And so I cross-referenced that, Matt, with teams that haven't won a national championship or a conference championship. The one team that kind of stands out that's on top, of course, is Notre Dame. They haven't really been in a conference, but They also haven't won a big time bowl game since like 1990. So I kept their number with the national championship number. They've been in a drought for 35 years. And they played in the ACC. But another thing that I noted on my list, all three Florida teams show up. I did my cutoff of over 5 years. Florida State hasn't won anything in 9 years. Florida hasn't won anything in 15. Miami hasn't won anything in 20. UCF won a national championship, what, 6 years ago now? Was it the 17th season? I forgot. I didn't write it down. They're not on the list because they didn't qualify for my thing. Plus, they weren't in the top whatever of Wikipedia. But if USF can see that there's an opening and saying, like, we're a fertile recruiting ground, Georgia and Alabama are eating those recruits up. No one wants to play in the ACC. Florida just has been, who knows what the heck they're doing, because they should be recruiting at a better level. Miami's trying to pay to recruit at that level. It's just not paying off for them. I think didn't they just play for an ACC championship and they lost? Or was that a couple years ago now?
A couple years ago.
I didn't write down almost wins, so I don't know for my list. But I wanted to finish it out. So Tennessee's been 25 years. Nebraska, 24. Nebraska fans really got me on this list because one of the things that they were talking about now is that they're leaving the Big Ten West. With the divisions gone, now Nebraska can actually like compete against the big dogs. Right. So I think the next 2 years or the next, like the first 2 years that schedule comes out, I think they have to play Penn State, Michigan State, or Michigan, Ohio State, and USC. So they got to play all four top dogs every year or whatever in that schedule, the 2 years that they released. And so people were like calling them out because Nebraska's like, yeah, finally we get to compete. They had the worst record in the West of any team. In fact, and I didn't check these stats. Someone sent them to me. If Illinois, I think it's Illinois, if Illinois beats Nebraska this year, Matt, Nebraska will have a losing record against every team in the West since they've been in the Big Ten. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can. Because they've been on the old struggle bus.
So another stat that I think, I don't know, I didn't write this one down, but the only teams that have winning records in the Big Ten, like cross-divisional like matchups, I think are Wisconsin, maybe Iowa from the West, and then it's Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State.
Well, hell, I'll do you one better, because back in, what was it, like 2006, the NCAA approved for the 12-game schedules.
Yeah.
None of the teams that play nine game conference schedules have ever won the national championship. So the Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, they haven't won the national title at all since they went to nine conference games. I mean, you said about beating yourself up. Meanwhile, you have the ACC that had the three for Clemson, and then the SEC that is overwhelmingly 13. But when you look at their non-conference schedule, I mean, they're playing Bishop Gorman and two other teams that are subdivision.
Oh, I've said that before because like people were knocking Michigan's schedule last year, and I said they played the same power teams that Alabama played, and actually Michigan's three teams that they body bagged would have been better than Bama's because I think Bama was still playing a lower division team. I think it was Bama, maybe it's Georgia, but like you're looking at that and you're wondering like, yeah, of course. Does that make much of a difference though? Like, Ohio State's been pretty close. They won it. I think the last year Ohio State won it was the last season of 8-game Big Ten. Does that sound right? But, I mean, they've been close to it. Michigan theoretically could have won it. They could win it this year for all we know. All the other big dogs are breaking in new quarterbacks. It just depends if McCarthy's going to throw some more pick sixes or not. So, where do you go from there? I had Nebraska. So, like, the other team's moving, like, Texas. It's been 14 years for them. They're going to move to the SEC. Do you really think they're going to win one? Right? Auburn's been 10. With Oklahoma joining, is Auburn going to win one? I already mentioned Florida State at 9. But then you have Penn State at 7, which Penn State supposedly is going to be ranked in the top 5 this year to start the season, is what I've heard. but they're going to be behind Michigan and Ohio State, of course. So they would have to beat two top 10 teams or two top five teams.
Plus that offensive juggernaut, Iowa.
Iowa can't be ranked, right?
Not till they start scoring 23 points a game.
They have Cade coming in. Cade McNamara. He broke the streak for Michigan, man. You can't knock that. If there's another team that I'd want to win it, if Michigan's not going to win it, I would love for Iowa to win it with him this year. You never know what's going to happen. The last team on my list was USC. They had a chance to be not on the list at all if they would have won last year against Utah, but they choked. They're at 6 years. I didn't count anyone like less than 5 years. So out of my like top 20 teams, I purposely didn't put A&M on the list either because they like have never won a championship. So I thought, even though they're like in the top 20 of win percentage, like I'm not putting them in here. That's just embarrassing. Because that would just be like, they're not, what are they going back to? Winning nothing? Like their championship was like 1935. So like people make like, oh, Michigan, like they've won most of their championships before World War II. It's like, yeah, but they also won 44 goddamn Big Ten championships. which reminded me, I was going to bring it up because with the change in guards, with the new conferences, like the expanded conferences, we're going to get to the point where the rankings for like conference championships all time is going to flip. Because right now the leader is Oklahoma. They have 50 conference championships. That's the most of any team. Nebraska's next with 46. They might never win one again, right? Michigan's catching up. They're at 44. They won the last two. If they win two more, they're tied with Nebraska for second. Oklahoma's joining the SEC. Are they going to win the SEC every year? Right?
Yeah. I don't think.
The team that's number four is Ohio State. They're at 39. I mean, until the Michigan run, they could have been there. USC's five at 37. So you're going to have three of the all-time conference winners. Actually, four, because I forgot about Nebraska, because I don't think they're going to win it ever. But you have four of the top all-time conference winners in the same conference. They can't keep winning it. Like, I don't think Oklahoma's going to come into the SEC and keep winning it either. So this gives a chance for a team like Tulsa, which is also on the list with 35 championships, that if they win like a lower conference, they could become an all-time leader in the history of college football because of the super conferences, Matt. I just want to throw a random fact out there. Other teams that would be out, Fresno, if Clemson gets left behind, they're on the list, which is kind of surprising, but I guess they were in the ACC longer than Florida State. They have 27 ACC championships, right? So Utah is also on the list, but I guess theirs were the lower division. They have 28. Texas has 30. Bama has 33. So Bama is like a good 17 years behind Oklahoma. But in the next 5 years, Michigan could jump Nebraska and be number two, which would be awesome. Just one more random fact that I noticed crunching some numbers this weekend. You can tell I'm pretty bored with no football on. NFL is a lot harder to follow like in the summer because like what am I going to do, read Jordan Love hate pieces all summer because like people don't think he's going to be the Packers quarterback of the future, so that's all I see is like hate mail from him. But I think that's pretty much all I had for the show this week. The only other thing I have on the list is the College Softball World Series. I know you had a heartbreak there. If you want to jump on that.
There was a glimmer. There was a glimmer early on around the second or third inning when they took the lead with the solo home run. I thought, maybe that's just enough to force a third game. And then Oklahoma just teed off at the bottom of the inning and blew the game wide open. So their streak continues.
I told Matt before the show, Oklahoma had one of Michigan's best pitchers transfer in. And I think you're going to see it's going to be a lot easier because we talk about the transfer portal and how it's affecting football. I think you have a mix of the same thing happening with softball and all the other sports where it's easier with COVID years to keep players around forever. Cause like you're not going pro in softball, right? You're not making millions of dollars if you leave college early. Am I wrong? Like, I'm pretty sure there's nowhere for them to go. The same would be for like lacrosse and other things like that. Yeah, you can get paid, but like, is it more than what the USFL is paying to play professionally? So a lot of these other sports now, with the transfer portal, I think you're just going to see players flock to like one or two teams, and that's going to be it. And I think the balance is going to be just crazy. Like if Oklahoma has a coach that everyone's like, it's going to be just like UConn women's basketball, right? Everyone wants to play for them. That's the only exposure you can get. You can get some sponsorships for NIL. And that's going to be it unless you get like a crazy donor to kind of walk in, like what's the Miami guy for their football team. Like you need a crazy donor to just be in love with one sport that's going to bankroll championships for your team. If you don't hit on the coach, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the future of college. People are only focused, they're hyper-focused right now on football. I hear some people like talk about it for basketball down here, but basketball is nowhere near as intense as football fandom. I think everyone is aware of that, right? So like people are like, yeah, basketball, like, yeah, we can get these guys, or Kansas is going to pay for all these guys, but it'll work out because there's only so many like roster spots for basketball. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. Like North Carolina is always going to get their guys too. Even if Kansas is paying, that doesn't mean that they're going to win. Where in football, it's like, hey, if Georgia's paying for all these guys, of course Nick Saban's going to be pissy about it. Because that's one less like depth player he has, or like one less guy that's going to win his matchup all game long. Ren, if he has five of those going to the opposite team that he's competing against, then you're in trouble. So I'm going to keep an eye on that because I wonder if baseball is kind of going the same. Although Wake, surprisingly moving on to the College World Series, I was kind of shocked by that. And it blows my mind, like, why can't NC State break through? Right? They get, like, the better baseball recruits. They get real close. They lose to Coastal Carolina in extras after a delay. Coastal Carolina wins the World Series. It's like NC State just can't catch a break. And then out of nowhere, Wake Forest is like, you know what? We're going to be the number one seed now. Like, NC State would never catch a break like that. That's my final bell for the show. Do you have anything you want to talk about at the end?
No. That's it.
NC State can't catch a break. Wake Forest could be left behind. We don't know. NC State could be left behind, but they can't even go out with a bang. If Wake wins the College World Series, I'll just be depressed that week. Because, like, why? Michigan comes so close a couple years ago. They play Vanderbilt. That's like a pack full of studs. Like, why couldn't it have been any other team? Right? Why couldn't it have been like a Coastal Carolina that year? Or someone that doesn't have the talent of like, it's like, nah, Michigan's going to lose 2-1. They didn't even get swept. They got one. It's like, you're going to come really close, but you're going to play against a stacked team that has like a bunch of first rounders in baseball. It's like, of course that's how it happens. And then this year it's like Wake taking advantage of the COVID years and they have guys that are like 27 out there. And they're like, we're putting it together, baby. They haven't been this hype at Wake since Chris Paul was there. Very long time. But thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.